Good morning, good morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, thank you so much for this time looking at your word, that you can help us to better understand you, and that the Holy Spirit will be here and guide my words and be here to help me and actually push me out of the way and speak on this message. I give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah, so starting in chapter 8, take the first 18 verses tonight, I mean today, and we'll continue on our study of Luke, getting into the some more parables and some interesting ones. And so I got a feeling this is like I call it Jesus teaches on the Word, and of course Jesus is referred to as the Word, and I kind of get that feeling about this is that. That's what's being portrayed here by these different things we're talking about in this chapter. We do have a painting for the first few verses, so I'll have this one. I'll bring up my that painting I've been using. Let me bring it over now, and got my big cursor so you can see it real good. As we read through this, I'll kind of point to the painting. But it's only the first few verses actually for this particular painting. So the blunt of it is actually a parable about the Word of God and how it and a parable Jesus uses to illustrate how powerful it is when it's properly taught. And so I'll start here reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. I think that's what's depicted up top here. You'll see that the 12 talking about preaching to others, and I think this is what's depicting about some of these smaller scenes over here, is that Jesus going around sharing the gospel with the 12 and along with the 12 disciples. If you count them, there's more than 12 people here. I think that's what it's trying to show is the different disciples and how they were working with the Lord. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and I think that's portrayed by this woman over here. And realize these women followed Jesus and many other disciples too. It could be quite a group. And that they spent their time helping with the ministry by providing food. And I just realized that why am I not getting any verses on there? Let me check that real quick. That. It's still not showing. Wait, oh, it's not showing. Hold on, I'm getting there. Okay, there we go. That'll work again. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. And I think that's this woman over here. First, I thought it might have been her, but I think that she is the other one that's spoken of here. And then, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. And so the reason I picked that one is because it looks like she's got some royal type of garment on. And so it says here, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. So she came from some court of the king, with the king, the guy in charge. And Susanna, and many others which ministered under him of their substance. And so they were helping with making sure that they provided support with food. That's depicted here. And by donations, maybe they would go around and collect donations to help with the ministry and things in general needs of the group. And as we see through the whole thing, especially Mary Magdalene, she pretty much stayed ever since the Lord saved her from her evil spirits, demons. She followed her through the whole 3 years of his ministry. Because you see her even at the cross and afterwards, she's one of the first people that sees Jesus rose from the dead. So she was very dedicated to him. Now, we're on to verse 4. When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. So now it's a group of people in front of him. And this is also in Matthew 13, 1 through 23. I'm not going to read all the way through it. I may pick out a few verses. I'm going to pick out a few verses that help with the Luke account. And also in Mark 4, 1 through 20. We notice here, I guess right off the bat, I'll show you the Matthew account because it tells its location. Therefore speak I to them in parables. I picked this because I wanted to explain about parables. And what parables are, and this Matthew account here I'm going to read really explains well what a parable is. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. For the people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I shall hear them. I think that's the important verse right there, is that once these parables start making sense to them, that means that they've actually accepted the Lord and are looking to him. And the Lord is actually helping them to understand what they're seeing. But until that time, people are kind of blinded. And I think that's true, that until you actually accept the Lord and want guidance from him and believe in him, that you too cannot really fully understand the word of God. Verse Matthew 13, 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. So I thought that explained what parables are. Parables are like it's a story to basically explain a biblical truth. But it's intentionally not understandable except to those who understand and who look to the Lord for understanding and ask for it. So back to Luke 8:5. And a sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. and another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now I wanted to explain a little bit about where this was taking place and what the other two accounts actually add to this. Over in Matthew 13, 1, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And also in Mark 4, 1, he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea in the land. So there's the actual location, and that's about the only additional information we get out of Matthew or Mark. The rest of the parables and the explanation of the parable is the same. So back to Luke, verse 9. And his disciple asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" Verse 10. And he said unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now, I thought I'd just mention a few other verses that kind of point to this. It goes all the way back to Deuteronomy. And here it gives a great depiction of when God wants you to understand what it means, that you will understand. Deuteronomy 29, 3 and 4. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, unto this day. So that when Moses was taking those out of the promised land, they didn't understand completely what was going on until the Lord finally was able to show them, because they finally started to trust in him and had faith in him. So going a little bit back on yesterday, that once you have the faith, then the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you can understand what's going on. Also in Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but receive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." So again, another indication here in Isaiah in the Old Testament, that until you're ready to seek the Lord, that you won't understand what he's saying. And I think that's really true. The more people I run into that really are not followers of the Lord have no clue what we're talking about a lot of times. And I just, it's hard for me to comprehend why that is. Okay, on to Luke verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So this is why I named it what I did. And a couple of references on the seed over in 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So that's the seed, is a not incorruptible seed. And then we want to also establish what it means by the word. Notice there in verse 11 it said, the seed is the word of God. I wanted to further explain what the word of God was. And it's over in John. And it's actually a reference of Jesus Christ. And over in John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And jumping down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So I wanted to mention that the word here is talking about Jesus Christ, and that the word that he's giving us is that corruptible word, the word of God, which until you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't understand You might be a superficial understanding, but you won't have a deep understanding of what the word is. Verse 12 here. Those by the wayside are they that, okay, back to Luke 8, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts. At least they should believe and be saved. So they're not fully committed to the Lord, and they kind of are taken away. The devil easily deceives them and pulls them away from the true understanding of the word. Verse 13. And realize this is Jesus explaining to the disciples exactly what this parable means. And they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and those have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And I see this as when you're excited at first and you really try to do what everything you're supposed to do, go to church, and but it's kind of superficial. Maybe you went down on a cult or call, and that all because you felt convicted that day. But as soon as you got back to your weekly routine, you forgot all about it. And you went back to, you didn't read your Bible, you didn't go back to church, and you didn't get fed. And until you get fed the word on a regular basis, you will the Satan's minions are out everywhere trying to drag you away from the truth. And so that's what it means by that it was on a rock. You got excited at first, but as soon as temptations came your way, you fell away. Verse 14. They which fell among the thorns are they which, when they had heard, go forth, are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. This, to me, is saying a lot about your testimony. Is that you don't want anyone to really know that you're a Christian, so you hide it. And in your day-to-day routine, nobody would even know that you're a Christian. I love something that once I heard from a speaker that said that if you were in a court of law, and you're on trial on whether or not you were a Christian, would you be found guilty? Could they find enough evidence in your life to prove that you were a Christian? And I think that's a great way of looking at it, as it as the end of this lesson is going to talk about, is that we are the light of the world, and if we're not shining forth and showing forth that we're different, that we're separated, then we're not any earthly good, and so we won't bring any fruit to perfection. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And a great supplement to this verse is over in 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some converted after that have erred from the faith and perceived, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So actually, what basically this is saying is that when you don't have a proper testimony for the Lord, you can actually draw people away from the word. People that maybe are brand new Christians, and they look at you and say, "You're a Christian? Really? Well, you sure can't tell, you go out on weekends and you party hardy, and you go watch these movies that talking about evil things and all kinds of demonistic type behavior or things of that nature. You just don't act like you are a follower of Christ. Back to Luke 8:15. But that on the good ground are they which are in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I love that where it says with patience. I got a verse coming up. It's one of my favorite verses, talking about planting seeds, and that not all seeds, once you plant them, come to fruition right away. You have to water them, and that you have to rely on others too. That's not always going to be you that kind of does the sinner's prayer. So don't push it. Sometimes it takes a little longer with some folks, and just start planting seeds and see how they grow, and be ready and willing and able to help water that seed. Great example is over in James 5, 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until they receive the early and latter rain. Now, I see that early and latter rain as people that continue to contribute to this young Christian or this young believer, or even this person that has not been convinced of the joy of being a child of God. And that we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to use it as a convicting force to bring them to fruition. Verse 8, be ye also patience, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Then my other favorite verse was over in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 10. This is one where Paul basically says that we're working as a group. You know, we're not individuals when it comes to bringing the word to others. And I like the way Paul puts it here. This is Paul speaking. I have planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are all laborers together with God. Ye are God's husband, yea, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation is no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I think those are the best way of explaining it is that we are all there here working together. And for that young Christian, as long as we keep true to the word and that we keep building upon what the Lord has laid a foundation, that we're doing exactly what we should be doing. So don't try to push it. Be patient. And some people, it takes longer. Verse 16. No man, when he hath lived. Now, this is moving into the second part of the parable, talking about being a good testimony. No man, when he hath lit a candle, covereth it under a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but sitteth it on the candlestick, that which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. So to support this, over in Matthew 5, 15 and 16, I think helps explain this. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see you, your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So that's all I really had for today. We're going to end it here for today. But basically, I think it's a great and important lesson to realize that that we are God's ambassadors, that we are here to plant seeds and water them and help people grow, but to stay true to the Lord and to be ready, willing, and able to tell people why what it is, what's different about you. And to be ready to be able to share the Lord with anyone who asks. And so I want a prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this lesson. And thank you, Lord, for all you help us with. And you continue to help us to plant seeds and to water. And that your Holy Spirit will be able to convict and help those people that are out there looking for and searching for you, Lord, and help find you. And in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, you guys all have a great day, and we will talk again tomorrow.